Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast.
Oh my God. You scared me.
With your host, me and her.
That dude.
Yeah.
That I call my brother.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. My bra.
I can't even do my
Randy Savage voice. Come on. Oh yeah. Oh, Randy Savage is dead, but his ghost lives on.
That's right. We did that story
yeah,
too,
you guys,
didn't we?
You have to go back and listen to that episode. It was amazeballs.
Amazeballs. What the heck is that?
I don't know. I just made that up. Okay. Joe, I hear you have a story for us.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So, hey. Have you been to Walmart lately?
I have not.
Oh, that's a shame. If you were in North Carolina.
I can't. Go ahead.
The header of this. Man sucks toes of unwilling women. A North Carolina man was sentenced to 2 months of jail after he sucked the toes of an unwilling woman in a local Walmart.
The chupa toe licker.
On March 17, 2014, Michael Brown, 31, told a woman he was a podiatry student and asked her to try on shoes for him.
Seriously.
He helped her put on the shoes. Okay.
I have no words.
And then he stuck her foot in his mouth and sucked on her toes.
Oh, man. Wait. What Walmart was that?
It was in North Carolina. Jen, no, come back. We have to record a show. You cannot pack up and
How
leave.
How long does it take to drive to North Carolina? Yeah.
You know, I go to Walmart a lot.
Ladies.
I wear my Elvis costume. And
let's have a chat. First of all, if any man approaches you in Walmart, in the shoe department, you just need to whack him with whack a shoe.
Whack a shoe.
Whack a shoe.
Whack a shoe.
Whack a toe licker. I can't. Oh, that's good stuff.
I love going to Walmart. It seems like it's weird. Every time I go to Walmart, everybody wants to take my picture.
They do. They want you to try on shoes for them.
It's so hard walking through Walmart with the stilettos on.
It is. I should know.
Speaking about walking,
yeah,
I did a walking therapy session.
Did? What's that? Tell us.
Well, what I'm doing is if anybody needs some life coaching and wants to hear my advice, people.
It's a walk and talk?
Walk and talk in the park.
Walkie talkie?
It's a walkie talkie in the park.
In the parkie?
Yeah.
Walkie talkie in the park with Joe.
It's a serious thing. But anyways, I walked with someone and they told me their problems
and
I
and you told
gave some
that.
Advice. No, it was fun though. We actually did it.
Did you tell him, snap out of it?
Get out of there. Oh, yeah. And then I slammed him against the tree and said, there's your therapy for you.
Hey, whatever works. Sometimes you gotta, sometimes you just gotta beat it into people.
Yes.
Beat it out of people. Just say, listen, leave the trucker alone.
Yeah. So what did you do this week?
Oh my gosh, I had something exciting to share with everybody.
Okay.
So, you know, on the previous shows, we talked about how I went to Ghost Hunting 101 class at Owens Community College,
uh-huh.
taught by Harold St. John and his group, Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunters Society.
Yep.
TOGS, to be short. And we talked about it a lot. But now I'm taking class level 102.
You've brought yourself
We're
to the next
down
level.
Deep. More in depth into the whole paranormal universe and ghost hunting world. And I've had one class and it was amazing. It's interesting though, you know, like Harold was like, why are you here? You know everything about ghost hunting. I'm like, I don't.
No.
I don't. Well, one, I want to support them in their efforts. But two, I don't. There's always something to be learned.
That's right.
And was telling the class, there's 157 different types of hauntings.
Okay.
Or something to that effect. I did not know that.
See?
I thought there was only the six, like the residual,
mm-hmm.
the, you know, intelligent,
the
poltergeist, the Facebook.
Facebook
yeah.
hauntings.
You know, I am so over Facebook right now. I love it because, you know, we get to reach all our listeners and I get to vent about my life, but it just sucks up so much of your time.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I limited myself to, I get up in the morning, I get stuff done, I do the walk thing, I do all that. And, you know, you just got to put Facebook aside because, for one thing, you know, I work second shift at the factory. So I'm like, during the day is my only time to do things.
Yeah.
And why spend it on Facebook? So I've been really kicking my own butt in gear. And the only time I really look at Facebook now is when I'm at work.
You probably shouldn't say that out loud.
Nah, I don't care. Hey, but I live my own life.
That's right. Live your life for you, not for anybody else.
That's right.
I have to learn that advice. But, you know,
it's so tough because, you know, I mean, people come to me because I'm so awesome and want to tell me their problems because I have solutions for them.
Well,
how's that for being conceited?
I don't think it's that. I think it's that you'll listen to them because a lot of people.
I'll listen. I will listen.
Keep repeating the same problems and mistakes, and people get tired of hearing it, and then they find somebody new to dump it on.
Yeah.
But if you continue to make the same mistakes over and over, why do you keep doing it? Why do we?
That's insanity.
Why do we?
That is the definition of insanity.
Insult our own intelligence. Mm-hmm. Why do we repeat? Why do we self-sabotage ourselves, Joe?
People love drama.
I know, People love drama. Why?
That's it. Get out of the drama. Come walk with me in the park and tell me your problems.
I wish I could, but I'm at work when you're walking.
Yeah. So anyhow, on our today's show, we had a great interview with a very lovely woman. It was just, when she sat down and started talking, she just like emanated.
Did you feel like she was? She knew that she was going to have to talk to, or needed to talk to us. You know what I mean?
I don't know, but.
But like we're like,
she just, I think
what it was like, we were drawn to each other spiritually.
I just think when she sat down, her aura, I don't know what color's happy or but it's like she just emanated joy, happiness.
Oh my God. I wanted to like sunbathe in it. You know what I mean? Like, I need that. I need more of that in my life. I don't need all this BS drama.
Yeah. So anyway, she is a metaphysician, which when she was talking to us, I was like, had no clue. I couldn't even think of questions to ask her because this is all new to me.
Yeah.
And in a way, though, I knew about it. And in a way, it's kind of something I want to do with, you know, I don't want to say do with my life or whatever, but it's the kind of things I want to get out and help people. And she is doing it. And
yeah, there's a difference between wanting to do it and doing it. You know what I mean? And you know what? Honestly, a lot of times what holds us back from doing the things we want is the financial part. Because say we wanted to take a class or a course, but it costs money.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like.
Or you can just go to the library or get online. And
yeah. But can you help and coach people without having a degree?
Yeah.
Do you just tell them that?
Yes, you can.
All right.
Because, I mean, think about it. How often do you go to, like, a doctor's office and ask them, well, where did you study? I want to know where you studied before. I mean, a doctor's a little different, but you know what I mean? But anyways, a metaphysician, okay, the word actually comes to us from ancient Greece, where it was a combination of two words, meta, meaning over and beyond, and physician. The combination means over the body physics.
Okay.
And
here's one definition.
Okay.
It says a metaphysician is a doctor / healer who changes or makes changes in the physical world through metaphysical, i.e. decidedly not physical principles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And it's sort of like, you know, when we talk about Reiki and stuff like that, but she actually is a
she's a certified metaphysician.
Yeah, she is. You know, in today's world, the word metaphysics has become a description of many different fields of interest.
So it kind of covers some of these different topics. So it's philosophical, spiritual, medical, integral. I don't know what that word is, integral. I got it right. Ooh, egg rolls. Egg rolls sound really good right now. I'm kind of hungry. You know who has great spring rolls? Okay, I know I'm going down a rabbit hole. Hippity hop, mother. Okay, Hot Sizzling Wok.
Hot Sizzling
Wok. It's on Lasky Road, if anybody's in Toledo. In Toledo? They have these spring rolls that are to die for. Now, you know you get an egg roll and, like, the coating is kind of, like, heavy and it's deep fried. But this is, like, really thin and crispy and crunchy. And it's delicious.
You know, I haven't ate yet today.
I'm sorry. I know. Poor listeners. I'm making them hungry. But you know what? Anybody wants to get some good Chinese food, you need to go to Hot Sizzling Wok.
But I think the best way for us to describe what this a metaphysician is to actually hear it from her. So let's get into the interview.
Yeah.
And hope you guys enjoy it.
We'll be back
after the interview.
And with us today, we have Angela Alexander Roth, and she is with Earth and Sky Metaphysical Center. Welcome, Angela.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for having me. I love your lipstick, by the way.
Oh, thanks. I love lipstick, too. Thanks.
So we're here at Mid-Michigan Paracon 2017, and we're just interested. You came up to our booth here, and we just had this huge bolt of thunder. It scared us all.
It was a sign.
It was a sign. It's going to be the best interview ever. So, Angela, tell us a little bit about Earth and Sky and what you do and how you got started doing that.
Sure. Earth and Sky Center is a place where we wanted to really bring enlightenment to the community. So I've been psychic basically since I was 2. I don't remember specifically myself, but my mother tells me of incidents where I would wake up screaming somebody's name and they would be in the hospital, or she would contact them and take them to the hospital. And kind of through my childhood, I had all of that. And then I've gone through, I'm a metaphysician, so I'm a Reiki master healer. I do intuitive healings and a lot of different modalities. And then we founded Earth and Sky just about a year ago. We do life talks every Sunday morning on a wide range of topics. Today we talked about the afterlife, but we also talk about everything from how to just increase love in your life.
I need that.
It's just a way for us to help. We also do a segment called Tea with DNA. That's my friend Deanna and I.
Okay.
And we intersect the science and the metaphysical together because they really do bridge together well.
When you do the talks, are you talking at a physical location, or do you have like a show, an internet show or a radio show, or is it just at the location?
It's both together. So we have a place right in downtown Flint in the College Cultural Area.
Okay.
So some people gather with us there, and then we also broadcast it live on Facebook on Facebook and on YouTube too.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, we do our recordings on Wednesday nights and we broadcast them on Sunday mornings.
Oh, very cool. Kind of like us.
Right, exactly.
I'm definitely going to have to check that out.
And we do a lot of other fun events too. We have classes that I teach. So I've been wrapping up a chakra class where we're going through one chakra each week for 9 weeks. And then we have horror photography coming in on the 20th.
Oh, that's a gentleman that's down there.
Yes.
He's here today. I saw him taking pictures. I sent Joe over there. I was like, Joe, you got to go check that out.
It's fascinating. It's great for everybody to check your aura health too, just to know, you know, where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are, what are your natural proclivities, and
so with what you have learned and trained with your Reiki training, you had to develop your skills, right? And you said you had this from a young age. How did you deal with that as you grew up, and then once you became an adult, what did you learn or train to, you know, master these skills?
Right. A lot of the psychic part came very naturally at a young age. And I remember being on the playground as I was probably in second or third grade, and I was telling my schoolmates, I said, well, I'm psychic every other year, but you're in luck. I'm psychic this year. Things kids say, right?
Yeah.
And so that just kept growing. And then when I taught myself high school after eighth grade. I wanted to get into college right away. So I did high school in a year and a half, went into college full-time at 16, and then I wanted to get into body work. So I thought I'd look into massage therapy and found my passion with energy healing and went on to become a metaphysician. And it was just such a passion for me. As soon as I started working with it, and I've worked with, in Phoenix, I specialized in HIV and AIDS patients. I would work alongside the Western doctors for testing. And then I also believe there's a balance between Eastern and Western medicine. Okay. So either extreme on its own is not nearly as good as when you combine them together. together. And yeah. So I work a lot with doctors for the testing, and then I've had people, I had a patient where he had 7 tumors in his liver, and with testing we found I took all of them out. So
oh, that is amazing. Yeah. That's a miracle. it's a blessing. Wonderful. Okay, so if you're doing this type of healing, would you have to, like, physically be with the person, or are you able to, or do you think anybody is able to send healing or that kind of work remotely?
Absolutely. Yeah, I do both. Okay. I always love my patients that I see in person, but I do also do it remotely. That's part of the Reiki training. Okay. They do symbols as you're tuned to the second level of Reiki, where you can learn to do distance healing. And truly, when you think about there's a lot that's been coming about the quantum world and how quantum physics works. And so really time and space is more of an illusion. So if mm-hmm. you can get past that illusion and you realize we're all one, we're all connected with each other. So you can tap into that energy through focusing on who the patient is and just sending that right into their energy field. When I do distance healings, I'm very focused. I have the room just to myself and I visualize that the patient is right in front of me. And okay. I ask that they do the same, you know, have a space of quiet during that time period. Too.
So amazing.
And
so,
I also do some distance healings where it's not as focused, but where I'll set up a crystal grid, and then the crystal grid can direct that energy. I have a cancer patient I've been working with right now that has had some great turnarounds from that.
And the reason I'm asking is because, okay, this is a short story long, but I'll make it really short. I dated this guy when I was 21. We lost touch for 20 years. We reconnected. He got divorced. We reconnected. He called me his soulmate in a card. He left. But, he ended up, he had cancer of the throat and tongue. He was healed of that, and then he just found out he had lung cancer this week. And I was like, I got to send some positive energy. And I was like, I don't know how to do that, but I'm going to try to do it.
Right.
You know, his way, some healing or something. I don't know if it's power of prayer, or if it's positive thought, or, you know, what could I do as just a regular person?
Absolutely.
Can we do that, or do you have to be... trained to do that?
Absolutely, you can as well. And there's a lot of the power of positive thinking.
Yeah.
And so really, whether you're sending it out as affirmations or as prayer, whatever sounds right to you, and you can just visualize him, see a picture of him within your mind, and just see a white light that just kind of encompasses him, and specifically see that white light kind of coming in from the divine above, and then surrounding the areas with cancer. With certain cancers, I like to see it kind of encapsulating those cancer cells, and then picturing it that it irradiates it.
Okay.
So you'll see that white light just kind of really glow.
Very much of like a visualizing and focusing on that particular area.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay. And
I
there
just
is
make
a,
sure I got that right.
There's also a bond between physical, emotional, spiritual, and all of that. All illnesses have some type of a spiritual or emotional cause behind them too. So when I hear somebody that gets cancer in one area and it clears and then it goes somewhere else, then it's always good to look within and figure out what those causes are too. Anything with the throat is going to be about communicating, expressing yourself, and anything with the lungs is about taking in love, taking in life. So is he feeling like he was maybe suppressing himself and not and then now is he not giving himself the love that he deserves?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah,
100%.
Talking to him about those things, that will help too, just helping him work through those issues.
Yeah, that's good. Good to know. Tell us a little bit about, do you have questions, Joe? I'm sorry.
I'm just listening.
Like
I'm
taking over the whole show.
One thing I was thinking, as a psychic and a healer, when you're doing the healings, are you physically seeing an illness, or is it a... because I've heard a few different ways that sometimes they will actually see an organ and it'll be either black or bright red or something. But I've also heard where the healers will visualize the injury or the illness as just like a blob of color or something, you know. How would you explain something like that?
For me, it really varies depending on the person. And so sometimes I also get smells. Certain smells will tell me the organ health for each of the different organs. But I had somebody I worked on a few days ago that had a bloodborne illness. And so I saw this green thread that almost looked like it was going through her bloodstream. So I was using a crystal and kind of winding that thread up almost like a ball of yarn. She felt she said she felt like her heart just kind of opened up as soon as that ball popped out.
Oh.
And so sometimes it's seeing the colors moving through the system. Sometimes it's the aura health itself. So The aura is an electromagnetic field about 3 feet out from the body. So sometimes you'll see a murkiness in the coloring. It's not that certain colors are good or bad, but if the colors are dulled or murky, then that tells me that there's issues there. Sometimes I'll see it with the chakra, and the chakras each correspond with different parts of the body too.
Oh, okay.
And I usually visualize it in different stages. So when I first see the person, I'll see the aura, then I look into the chakras, then I look into the organ systems.
Sort of like digging deeper and deeper into the symptom until you find that actual cause.
Layers of the MRI.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Now, you said that you have a location. Now, do you guys offer classes for people to come?
I do.
And what type of classes would you offer? I'm sorry.
Yeah, right now I have two classes going on. One of them is about the chakras. Mm-hmm. And so we're delving in very deep with each of them. And I actually do meditative healing at the end of each class with the chakra class. And that's Monday nights. On Thursday nights, I'm teaching a numerology class, which is the science of numbers. Is fantastic.
There you go.
Exactly. One of the angel numbers. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then I'm going to be teaching a crystal grid class soon, which is great, as you were asking about distance healing. That's a really great way because you can set up a crystal grid and then have it just charging and active 24/7.
Interesting. So yeah, we're just learning about all this stuff. I'm fascinated by, like, all of a sudden I'm like, I got to get some crystals. So when I go to shows like this, I'm always like, okay, I just spent more than we made at our table.
Or like seeing Melinda, I got my rock.
Nice,
and,
yeah.
Because, you know, I fidget a lot, and she's like, hold on to this when you meditate.
Yes.
And so I just keep it with me all the time.
Those things can really work through your aura too. Just holding them will open it up. I tell people with working on their chakras, look in your closet and see what colors you're missing in your wardrobe. Those are probably colors that correspond to your chakra colors that you could use a little bit of work on. So just adding that color in, holding a stone that's that color will also do the same thing.
Can you just run down quickly what, for everybody who's listening, because maybe they don't know exactly what the chakras are, just a little explanation about what that is and where they're located.
Yes, the word chakra is Sanskrit for spinning wheel of light. So we have 9 main chakras. A lot of people talk about 7 main chakras. I really see 9. The one at your feet is the origin chakra. So that connects out to asteroids, meteorites. It's that beginning of space and time where we all come from. Mm-hmm. Then around the knees is tiger's eye. It's a universal protection. Life is always fragile when we're born into this world. And we have this innate ability to, most of us survive that fragile stage. And so that's that universal protection layer that kicks in. As you get a little bit older, the root chakra, just around 2 years old, the root chakra starts to really open up. That's around the hips. That's red. And so from there on up, it's the colors of the rainbow. So you have red is your will to live. You're thriving here. Then orange is the sacral chakra. That's right at the womb. Well, the womb is creation. So that's your creativity center. Artists a lot of times will have a lot of strong orange. Then you go up to yellow at the solar plexus. Solar plexus is your sun. It's the center of who you are. It's your mental clarity, your emotional balance. It's your power center, your I am center. Then you go to green at the heart chakra. I see a lot of pink around the heart too. I had a yoga teacher tell me she visualizes it. Pink roses with green leaves around it. I love that for the heart. And then you go up to the throat chakra, which is blue, communication, knowing your truth. To communicate honestly and truly, you have to know what your truth is, know what your likes and dislikes are. And then you go to the third eye chakra, one of the favorites for a lot of people, which is indigo, alexandrite stone, purple, blue, deep colors. That's your intuition. And then above that is the divine chakra that connects you to the heavens above, to the angelic realm, whatever word you want to use for it, that bright white light.
So interesting, because, you know, you hear that term and you just, you know, until you study it, you just don't, I was like, okay, I know what it is, but I don't know what they mean or, you know, what they represent or where they're at.
And there's so much to them. The front of the body is your emotional center. The back of the body is your action center. So you can get really deep into a whole lot of information on it. I'll be repeating the chakra classes this winter, too.
Oh, that's great. Now, if somebody wasn't in the area, do you offer any of those classes, like, online or remotely?
I haven't yet, but I've been thinking about doing that. I do have a curriculum that I create, so I could certainly sell the curriculum, maybe work with people on something like that too.
Okay.
Can you explain a little bit about Reiki and how that works, and how did you learn to be certified? Is it certified? Certification in that?
That would work.
Or learn it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and Reiki is a tremendous form of healing energy. I do a lot of different types of modalities. I used to do primarily quantum healing, which it was where I would go in and physically, you know, the psychic surgery, things like that. And I've actually toned that back a bit now because I focus a lot more on Reiki, because Reiki is where it's a very intelligent energy. So if you just open yourself up, you have to be attuned to Reiki, and that's where you take the class, and then symbols are drawn into your auric field, which actually attunes you to that vibrational level. And then as you let it flow through, it's just basically divine energy that flows through you. It flows from above the crown chakra to the heart chakra and then out through your hands. And so it can flow in exactly where it needs to go with the person. What I learned, I was studying with a Buddhist monk, and he told me that I had, when I was doing the healings where I was forcing and I was manipulating, like actually taking the tumors out of people and, you know, putting in exactly what I wanted, I found I could do that and heal people very quickly that way, but I made myself very sick that way too. And he said I was basically taking on their karmic debt, because we all have different lessons that we're here to learn, and it's not a punishment, but it's lessons that we need to learn. And so by me interfering and pulling those lessons away without talking to the people about helping them understand why they had that sickness and then allow that healing light to just flow through on its own, I was taking it out of them, and it had to go somewhere, so it went into me. So now I use Reiki a lot more, because it will just divinely flow in. It'll go exactly where it needs to go. Sometimes it helps more emotionally, sometimes it's mentally, sometimes it's physically. Usually it's a combination of all of those coming in at the same time. Okay.
That's interesting that you say that, because I know a friend of mine that had a Reiki session done with her, and she never knew anything about it, but a lot of people told her, you need to get this done, you know. And she did it, and she described that, how she felt the energy going out of her hands.
Yeah.
And until you said that, I just figured it was just for her, but that's how it works.
Yep, we have small chakras in the palms of our hands and then in the bottoms of their feet. And anybody can do an exercise where if you kind of hold your hands together, sometimes if you rub your hands together first, you'll feel the energy build. But even just holding your hands apart, you'll feel like there's a magnetism where it kind of pushes your hands in and out. And the more you practice that, you'll feel that get stronger and stronger.
Very interesting.
I'm
going to
try that.
Yeah. So cool. So interesting. How, you know, like you said, you absorb the, you know, that. How do you protect yourself from that, or how do you expel that from your system?
Right. What I do every day is I draw in white light. So I see a brilliant white light. It comes in from above the crown of my head, floods through my body, connects me deep into the earth. And I see myself as a tree. So I have roots that go deep into the earth. The earth can transform any energy and neutralize it, bring it back positive. And then on the outside of the white light, I do a violet flame energy, like a brilliant purple light. Purple has this ability so that no negativity can pass through it. It will absorb, kick it out, transmute it. And then on the outside of that, I see a mirror shield. The mirror faces out, so anything directed at me that's not for my best and highest good gets sent right back to the sender with love. So it transforms, it adds that love energy, and I protect it.
So when you do this and you expel it out, where does that energy go? Does it just like go out in the universe, or would it, you know, bounce into somebody else, or?
I send it down into the earth. Actually, when I start to work on a patient, I'll actually open a little, I call it a portal. Open a little portal, and I see exactly where it's going to drain into the earth. Sometimes if somebody has a lot of stuff that they are expelling, then I'll open that portal, and then I'll close that down near the end, and I'll do like a little drain tube. Within my mind, I'm seeing inserting a drain tube, letting the rest of that negativity flow out, and then eventually that seals off too.
Yeah, because I was always concerned that, you know, if you expel something out of you that's negative, like where does it go?
Because
if I had something, I wouldn't want it to go to anybody else.
Exactly, and you don't want it to go flying around. It's part of being a responsible metaphysician is making sure you just like a doctor, you wouldn't want him flinging a bag of blood somewhere. Like, oops. You have to expel it properly. You have to, and then I use those Reiki symbols after I close down that portal. I use the Reiki symbols. There's one that is like shutting the door, so it closes the door, seals it down. And I also always make sure to protect my client at the end too, because when you're in a session and you're doing a lot of energy work, their aura is open. And so you have to, at the end, do that, basically what I said with the white light and then the purple light and then the mirror. Sometimes I add in other layers depending what I'm intuiting for that person, but I always seal their aura too.
Have you ever had an experience with somebody who just had so much energy, it was too much for you, or...
I've dealt with people with a lot of energy. I haven't found anything yet, knock on wood, that's been too much.
Okay.
I have in some certain paranormal investigations. I'm also part of Crimson Moon Paranormal Group.
Okay.
And so I have had a couple of very dicey situations when it involved spirits. For the most part, I haven't had any issues with spirits either, but there have been a couple that where there were superhuman strength things that came into people in some very unnerving situations with that. But as far as energy healing, I haven't.
Oh, that's great. That's good. Keep it all light and positive,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. And that's one of the things with spirits, too, is there's a lot of, some people get afraid of ghosts because they just don't understand it. And I think it's a human condition. If you don't understand something, then you tend to fear it.
Right.
And for the most part, even ghosts that are around us are, for the most part, positive. A lot of times, people will think something is a ghost, and it's really remnants of energy. It's not necessarily even a ghost. It's when we have a lot of energy we're expelling. If somebody's had an argument, or if there's some kind of high energy like that, it causes what I call cosmic dust balls in the room. So you get this like dust clutter, and that can actually take on its own form, and people will feel like it's a ghost energy, and it's not. It's just needing to clear out that those cobwebs of energy.
It's kind of like when you walk into a room, you almost can tell that someone was in an argument.
Yeah,
you know, it's like you get that feeling.
And
you're like, oh, okay, this is a fun party.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
So how could somebody, if they have that in their home or in their space, what could something they could do by themselves to clear that space?
A couple things. So that white light, again, is very powerful. Just imagine that coming in through your whole house. Every house has a guardian, just like every person has a guardian angel. Every house has a guardian. So you can talk to that guardian and ask them to come in and protect it. You can ask your guardian angel to come in and protect you. Angels are all around us all the time, but they need us to ask them to intercede, unless it's something that's, you know, a specific emergency that's throwing you off your path, then they'll intercede. But the more you ask them, the more they'll get involved. Saging is another great thing too, and that purple light. So I would ask, if it's something really severe, you want to throw in all the guns, ask your house guardian to help clear the house. Visualize a white light that comes in and clears your house, and then see yourself as casting a purple net up over the house. So that purple net, hold it in your hands, like we were saying, hold your hands apart, feel that energy, and then imagine that you cast that up and it goes all the way through the roof, and that's going to protect your house. Nothing negative can flow in. As you cast it up, it clears anything negative out. And then saging is wonderful too. You can use sage if you like the smell of sage. If you want something lighter, Palo Santo wood is a great way to just cleanse a space too.
Okay, yeah, because I was worried about, someone gave me some sage, and they're like, just sage your house, and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not trained in that, you know, and I was kind of worried because there is a spirit that I want to keep around me, and I was like, well, if I banish the spirits, she won't stay around, and they're like, no, it's not like that. It's, you're banishing the negative out, it's not the positive, and I'm like, okay, so I saged my house. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I went around the doors first and, you know, worked a way out and stuff. And I don't know if it worked or not yet, but we'll see.
Good. How long ago did you do that?
About a week.
Oh, okay, yeah, nice. Yeah. So it'll be nice to see when you go back. Intention is everything. So if there are certain ones that you're wanting to keep around, because there's a lot of friendly spirits out there, then it's your intention. So you let them know that they're welcome to stay. Anything negative goes out. All those cosmic cobwebs of, you know, negativity, doubt, fear, anxiety, you know, all of that goes out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did a video recently on our page, on our Facebook page or the YouTube channel, Earth and Sky Center, that actually talks about how to sage. So intention is everything.
Yeah.
You're not going to hurt anything by doing it, you know, not being trained. It's what your intention is.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, because I had no idea what I'm doing. You know, and I'm walking around the house saging. I heard, you know, do the windows and do the doorways, work away from the top of the door down and stuff. I'm like, I don't know, you know, so I'll have to watch the video now and see.
Yeah, and I always like at the end to kind of sweep it out the door too. I like to end at the door and I'll kind of sweep the smoke out. Some cultures will actually use a broom and sweep off their front porch, and they feel like that clears everything, kind of seals that clearing.
Okay.
So just different options
with
it. Yeah,
very interesting.
Now, it says here you're an ordained minister. I have to take my glasses off to see this because I'm 46 now. But What do you do with your ordained minister? Do you marry people?
I do. I love weddings.
I love. I'm like, I'm a lover, you know. I'm like,
Yes. Tell me about the love.
Yes, yes. I customize all my ceremonies around each specific couple. That's probably my favorite thing. Yeah. I love it. I like doing our life talks, which we air on Sundays, but the marriage ceremonies, yeah, those are absolutely the best. I did a few of them this year so far.
Great. You know, it's always just such a wonderful thing, like with our family. I have this huge family. Like in the 70s and 80s, we're all going to everybody's, you know, weddings.
Yes.
Now it's the opposite. You're going to everybody's funeral. I'm like, we need some more weddings.
Yeah.
I'm like, I gotta find a man so I can get married.
Right.
You know, so we can all get together for a happy occasion.
Yeah.
And just, you know, build up that just positive energy and
absolutely,
love.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. And love is love's the core of us. I think love is the heart of, you know, who we all are. We're all connected. We're all one energy. Mm-hmm. We come from one source. You know, mm-hmm, the universe is, you know, our source of love. When I visualize it, I've had some near-death experiences too.
Tell us.
So when I did that, each time the consistent thing was this overwhelming feeling of love. I would see this brilliant white light. I felt all of my pain just alleviated. I just felt so light. It was such joy, such peace. I really wanted to just kind of go there. Mm-hmm. And in the key of it was that love. And I feel like every human on the planet, if they could feel that love, if they could know that they're loved, mm-hmm, it would fix everything.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
We all need more love. So when you had your experiences, was it a traumatic event or was it just like something happened? You know, like,
I had to
get too personal, but,
yeah,
you know,
no,
I
had
just always wonder what sparks that.
I have systemic lupus, which is really interesting because, as I was saying with taking the karmic debt on when I was healing my patients, it was after I'd had my practice for a few years and I started progressively getting sicker. And then I ended up needing a surgery. I was sitting on the couch, turned to look at my husband, and just in turning, my knee dislocated, the outer ligament tore. And then I woke up a couple times in surgery, and then it was just downhill from there. And so it was, I think, really pulling in all of the illnesses from everybody else. It had to go somewhere because I wasn't using that Reiki that intuitively heals and restores and transforms it. And so I had multiple organ failure a couple times. And so it was just this extreme amount of pain that I was in. And each time it was while I was in my sleep, and I would just kind of drift off and they would bring me back. The doctors told my husband a few times that he needed to prepare himself and say goodbye, and he refused. He'd bring me chocolate and said, "I'm not allowed," and that worked. Chocolate and love solve everything.
That's right. Amen, sister. Yeah. Amen.
But yeah, that feeling of knowing, you know, just seeing that love, feeling that peace. And I remember feeling my guardian angel. I saw her for the first time physically when I was 12, and I was in a really depressed state at the time, and I felt somebody touching my hair, but I was in the room by myself, and I turned around, and this beautiful woman with this long blonde hair, white flowy gown, looked at me and was like, "Oh, hi, who are you?"
Yeah.
And she explained she was my guardian angel, and that really set off my desire to work with the angels a lot, too, so...
We did a show on it. I had an experience with an angel when I was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old. I stepped off a cliff and came out, pulled me back on.
Wow.
And disappeared.
Oh, I got chills.
I know. It was like my whole family was there. Everybody saw it. And so ever since then, I just always had this passion for mystery and the unknown and you know, just wanting to know more. What are angels? What are they about? How do we know who our angel is? You know, it's like, do you get to name them? You know, like, do they, you know, like, I've never had one say, "Hey, you know, hey girl, I'm your angel, you know, my name's Joe," or whatever. Right. But you know, it's like, how do you just speak to them? You just talk to them in your mind, or do you have to audibly talk?
You can just talk to them in your mind.
Okay, so they can hear you.
Absolutely. Okay. That goes back to that intention. Intention is everything. And they're in a level that vibrates higher, so they can hear what you're thinking. They can understand what's going on with you. I had the name conversation with my angel, actually,
because
I was starting to form that relationship, I wanted to know what her name was. And it was interesting. She said that it's a human condition that we want to name everything. She said that they get fascinated by the fact that we have to have names and labels for everything.
Oh, okay.
And she wouldn't tell me a name. She said that that always has certain connotations to it. And not that some people won't know the names of their angels, but mm-hmm. she said that it was important to get past labels and mm-hmm. names and terminology. And there's, you know, even with terminology and vocabulary, there's so many things where religions are so similar to each other, but the terminology separates mm-hmm. each other. And so I think that was her kind of teaching me that lesson by letting me know names are just a human thing. So call her whatever you want to call her.
Yeah, because we've had that discussion where people kept telling us, no, you cannot name your angel. You cannot call it by name. You can't. We're like, but then how do you know who you're talking to, you know?
Right, and it's up to you. If you feel more comfortable naming them something, mm-hmm. then certainly feel yeah. free. But I also see them as groups, too. So everybody has a guardian angel. They're part of that universal protection that's that second chakra around your knees. And so they and connects you with that divine chakra above. So your guardian angel walks you into this life as you're being born. They are with you as you transition into the next life as well. And then we have other angels, too. And the more you ask them to work with you, the more they will. Okay. So just like you said, walking off a cliff, your angel interceded. You didn't have to ask because that was taking you off the life path that you were supposed to be on. So she reeled you back in. Yeah.
Literally back on the path.
Exactly. And so you can, if you want to work with them more, you want to see more miracles open up in your life, just ask them to get involved. If you're looking for a job, ask for their help. Ask them to put something in front of you. And then you have to be observant when you ask and make sure you're looking to see what mm-hmm. happens.
Yeah, that's hard because, you know, my mom is, she's 86 and she grew up Catholic and she's always like, just talk, ask your guardian angel to bring that perfect man. And you're like, but, you know, I'm like, and everybody in this generation, which is extremely busy all the time. Sometimes you don't even physically look up when you're in places, you know, you're just so such a slave to looking at your phone all the time. We're not opening our eyes up to what, like, you know, what's out there, what's in front of us.
Exactly. You know? And sometimes it's knowing what the right question is. So maybe it's more focused on asking your guardian angel to help you bring love into your life mm-hmm. so that you can feel and asking you to feel fulfilled in your life. And so that might end up coming where you see that man coming in, or it might end up coming that you get passionate about other things going on in your life. And when you mm-hmm. least expect it, that man's yeah. going to come in too. Yeah. So
I'm like, I'm 46 years old. I'm tired of waiting. My mom's like, you'll be at the airport when your ship comes. Like, I know, Ma, I know.
Yeah. And so much of the time now everybody's looking in their phones. Even yeah. when we're out, we're just down yeah. in our phones and not living life
yes.
around us.
Put down your phone and talk to each
yeah,
other.
Like yeah. my brother Joe, he's very big on really wanting to get focused on living a positive life, mm-hmm. mind, body, and spirit, getting your finances in order, getting your life in order, yep. you know, everything from just physically clearing out your space. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think as humans, we just like to collect things.
Yes.
And then that weighs you down.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
it's like the less you have, the more free you are. That's how I feel sometimes. So, like, you know, we're in this path of, like, in the next year or so, we're just going to open it up to sharing, you know, maybe through a podcast, positive, what would you say, like life just, tips and
just bringing your life back talking. Into the positive level.
Yeah.
I love
you know,
that.
Because yeah. we do. We spend so much time looking at our phones or that and not communicating with other people. And it's body, mind, and spirit. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you got to get that level. And, you know, a lot of people want to become wealthy in that. Well, you're not really going to become wealthy
you
unless you're wealthy mentally.
You.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, but, you know, a lot of people want money and all that, but you can't, I can't see someone being rich and miserable. There are people out there that are.
Right.
But that doesn't bring you happiness. And until you are happy, I mean, you could be happy and not make a lot of money, and you'll still consider yourself rich.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That was one of the first lessons when I started my doctorate and working on my doctorate in metaphysics. That was one of the very first lessons that they had, too, was that mm-hmm. about abundance. And it's about, you know, letting go. It's a cycle. So you have to be willing to let go to be open to receive.
Exactly.
You have to create that space so the abundance can flow in and yeah. mentally, spiritually, emotionally.
You'll never.
I mean, we could do like four shows on that, you know, and I could just like sit here and listen to it all day long. It's just so interesting.
One of the things that, like, we listen to Dave Ramsey, he's a big money guy, mm-hmm. and he says, you know, people that hold on to everything can never let anything else in.
Yes.
You can't gather more with a clenched fist.
Exactly. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's so true on mm-hmm. all levels. Yeah. And you can also ask angels of finance to come in and help too, because you can, if you don't know what the specific groups are, just call out the name of it too. So angels of abundance.
So there's different, explain like the different groups of angels. So they're different.
Different
like
groups?
They are.
No, yeah, I didn't know that. Okay.
There's nine different choirs in the realm that I subscribe to. You know, people might, whatever people see, you know, can be their reality with it too. But I see it as nine different main groups. And the top three are the ones that are concerned more with universal love, universal light, like they're the big masters over the cosmos. And then the next three are the ones that work on planetary issues. You know, they will help with, you know, country issues and larger groups like that. And then the bottom three are like your guardian angel, personal angels of finance. You can call in angels of knowledge if you're really wanting to open up and learn more about something.
I love it. Thank you so much. Because it's just like always want to know more. Always. Nice. What else, Joe? What else? We just have to pick your brain. We're going off in rabbit holes, but...
Libraries are a place where I'm just
sitting here listening.
Libraries are a place where I've seen a lot of angels too. Really? It's interesting because I can walk into a room and I don't always see them, but a lot of times I'll see the angels that are around. And I was really surprised at how many were in libraries, like sitting on top of the shelves and on top of tables. They'll help people as they're studying sometimes. I've seen it where an angel will have its back on somebody's, you know, or hand on somebody's back, and there's just this kind of glow and it's helping them absorb all the information they're trying to take in.
I would never think of that.
No.
Yeah. Where else is a good place that angels like to hang out?
Where they hang.
Yeah, what's their hangouts?
Well, and the more you work with them, the more they'll follow you around as well. Everybody has, you know, the house guardian, the personal guardian. Lakes a lot of times will have, you know, where you have nature. So there are certain ones that like to kind of stroll around in nature. Hospitals are full of angels because of all the trauma that's going on. And weddings have angels too. The angels get really excited at weddings. It's fun. Yeah.
I've never had good luck with weddings. I did wedding photography for a little bit.
Oh, that's hard.
Every wedding that I've taken photos of are now divorced.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh.
The six that I should say all, you know, the six that I've done.
Right. Aw, yeah. And that's not a reflection of you, but that is hard though.
Bring some with you, Joe. Next time, just bring the angels in with you.
Yeah.
You know, let's spread them out on the dance floor.
Yeah.
We'll do the Cupid shuffle.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So is there an angel of love?
There is. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, we'll have to look into that.
That's what they're all about.
Exactly.
Well, yes,
the ultimate
but
love.
I didn't know if there was like a specific
physical love.
One.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You can call in angels of romance. Call in angels of love.
Yes,
all
please,
of that. Be specific with what you want. Too. And when you visualize what it is you want, the more specific you are, the better you are at creating it, too. A lot of times I talk about writing things down, because writing things down really helps you manifest, because it does a couple things. It helps you know within yourself what you want. So many people want the concept of something, but they don't know what it is they really want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So writing it down helps. I know before I met my husband, I was just tired of men in general. I didn't want a relationship. So I wrote a 3-page list and I said, Universe, I am not dating anybody unless they match all of these. And I knew it was not going to happen. And he came into my life immediately after.
That is so cool. See, I write romance, so I always ask people, and I hope they don't get annoyed at this, how did you meet your mate? Because I just love to hear how people met.
Right. I joke around about cooking him up in my cauldron sometimes. Because he matched all the things on the list, except for three things that were minor and didn't matter, really. Yeah. So, but
you
I
got to have some difference there.
Exactly. Yeah. He's so supportive. But I met him at his college. I had just been starting my practice as a metaphysician, so I was substituting that with some temp work on occasion. And he was studying, he was nearing the end of getting close to his degree. And so I worked in the bookstore for just a very short while. They called me back for my last day 3 different times. And on the third time, it was finally my last day and I met him that day. So it was fate.
Meant to be. It was meant to be. awesome.
The angels took him in, like, get over there. Get over there.
Right, yeah. His friend from Honduras had seen me, and he actually grabbed him and told him, you have to come see this girl, and brought him in. And
love.
And then I was just trying to get him on as a client because I wasn't looking for love. I would just, you know, I had written that list down, so I was very specific about it, but I knew I wasn't interested, and his friend was more interested in me than he was, but I gave him my cards. I was like, hey, if you want to come in for a treatment, if you want a massage, and he took me out to dinner instead. And
the rest is history.
Yes. Yeah.
That's cool.
So tell us again about your show on YouTube, where they can find it, and tell us how they can get a hold of you if they want to.
Yes, Earth and Sky Metaphysical Center is our location. It's Earth and Sky Center on YouTube. We have a Facebook page as well, Earth and Sky Center on Facebook. And so either of those they can find us at. We also have earthskycenter@gmail.com if they want to email us directly. We do upload the YouTube videos every week. We have a few extra videos we put on Facebook throughout the week as well. All the classes are listed on our Facebook page, Earth and Sky Center. And
I'm going to definitely check it out.
Wonderful.
Yes. We appreciate it so much. You're taking the time to just enlighten us on some new knowledge and ideas for next show.
Yeah. Thanks. Oh, and if they want Crimson Moon Paranormal Investigation, we have a fan page for that. Crimson Moon Paranormal Fan and Request page.
Oh, wonderful. Awesome. So if you guys, you know, are having a situation in your home or your business, get on Facebook and look them up. And what areas do you guys cover?
Throughout Michigan.
Throughout Michigan. Mm-hmm. So if you guys need help, check them out and get in contact with them. And, you know, we just appreciate it so much. You're taking the time to come over here and teach us about angels of love and finance. Yeah.
It's been such a pleasure to talk with both of you. Thank you so much.
All right, Angela, take care. Oh, she was so amazing.
Yeah, she was so cool.
Oh my gosh. Very knowledgeable, very beautiful. Like love and light.
That's how
I describe her.
I was
love and light.
And I was kind of like just sitting there listening to her talk, and I'm thinking she's got it going on. She also, if you guys get a chance, now I know she mentioned in the interview, but she does videos on YouTube, and I've watched a few of them, and I'm like, she's so cool.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
I'm subscribed to her page and all that, and if you guys want to see some watch some uplifting videos and that, just look her up.
Yeah, we'll post them on our Facebook page, and we'll also put it in the show notes for this show. Yeah, you know what's really cool about it is that, you know, people don't understand the power of healing.
Oh yeah.
You have the power in your mind to heal things in your body.
Yeah.
A positive attitude, eating right, drinking tons of water. You know, you have to cut out sugar.
Yeah.
Sugar is known to cause depression.
Mm-hmm.
It's known to cause obesity.
Yep.
Diabetes. Oh my gosh. Okay. I know this is a rabbit hole, but I have to do it, Joe. Little Debbie is getting rid of one of their snack cakes.
Okay.
But they haven't told us which. So it's between the honey bun, which is your favorite, the peanut butter nutty bars.
Why would they do that?
The Christmas tree one.
Yes.
And get rid of that oatmeal cream pie.
Oh, yeah, definitely get rid of that.
Oh, the oatmeal cream pie is so good.
Okay, so we're going to PodFest in Orlando, so I'm trying to lose weight I don't look like a beach whale. And
here I'm talking about
treating
your body right, and then I'm like, little Debbie's getting
rid of. I'm walking past the machine at work.
God, honey bun.
I look down.
Honey bun.
No, better. Chocolate covered.
I knew it.
Boston cream pie filled honey buns.
My hell.
And I said no.
You are stronger than most.
But anyways, thanks for listening, you guys.
Yes, we appreciate it. We really do. All joking aside, take care of yourselves.
Thank you to Angela.
Yes, Angela.
For coming
Alexander
on the show.
Roth.
And let's...
And you can, you know, just quickly, if you want to get a hold of her, she's... at Facebook/ Earth and Sky Center once again. But check us out on Facebook, please.
Oh, go to Facebook and look at the promotions that we have going on.
Yes, we have some cool things going on.
Yeah.
Support the show.
So let's go out with some little rehab from 60 Second Crush.